Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, from Comedy Central's hit show Workaholics, Anders Holm. It was great to sit down and talk with Anders. I've been a fan of Workaholics for the last few years and have just been thrilled at its success. I think it's an absolutely hilarious show, so it was great to be able to talk to Anders. I learned a little bit about, you know, kind of what goes into making their show, from the writing to the casting, the way that they develop the characters, and even the characters based on themselves. How much of their actual life kind of goes into it. If you're a fan of Workaholics, Season 4 just released on Blu-ray and DVD this last week. I know I saw it up on the Comedy Central website for just $11.99. That is not a bad deal at all for such a fantastic show, especially on Blu-ray. You can't go wrong there. This week, you can find me at Wise Guys Comedy. I will be participating again in Open Mic Night, Wednesday night, 7:30 at Wise Guys West Valley. It's been good. It's been good to get back on stage and start kind of working out some new material. It's been a while, and I've just been lazy, so it's felt good to be back and finally getting my sea legs out from under me and getting used to being on stage again. The first night back was had a few little rough spots, but I mean, that's what open mic's for. It's there to, you know, kind of work those out. You know, I'm grateful that there's so many great comics here in Salt Lake City. You know, I can talk to them afterward and say, you know, what can I fix, and be able to get great pointers from the guys that are working regularly in comedy. Also this week at Wise Guys, Thursday night, our good friend Andy Gold is back on stage. You may remember Andy from episode 4 of the podcast. Andy had spent some time in New York City doing comedy and has been back in Utah for the last little while. Just returned from Pasadena, where he performed at the Ice House Comedy Club. Andy is an absolutely hilarious comic. You're not going to want to miss this show. So if you're in West Valley this Thursday night, make sure you come by. Tickets are only $5, so you really cannot go wrong there. New episodes of The Job Interview are getting ready to release this week. We've got a special episode. We called it I Just Want to Swing. It's an improv episode where we basically came up with the idea, turned on the cameras, and just rolled with it. I think it came out really well. We've really enjoyed putting this one together. So watch for that later on this week up on our YouTube page. Speaking of YouTube pages, I finally got my own personal YouTube page up. You can visit my YouTube channel on YouTube, TimDrake42, because somehow somebody already took the Tim Drake tag. I hope you'll come out. Check out, you know, the few minutes I'm going to be doing this week at Wise Guys West Valley if you are in town. Thursday night, make sure you go check out Andy Gold. And, of course, you know, get online, get into Best Buy or whatever store you go buy media at. Pick up Workaholics Season 4 on Blu-ray and DVD. You know, make sure you share this interview. You know, like I said, it was great to talk with Anders. I'm glad that he took the time out of his schedule to sit down and talk with us. He's in the middle of writing Season 5 right now of Workaholics, so, you know, his schedule is just slammed, so it was great to be able to finally have him on the show. I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for listening and sharing the show with your friends. Go on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and rate the show. Let everybody know what you think about it, and enjoy this episode with Anders Holm. Hey, how are you? How's it going, Anders?
Good. How's it going?
Not bad. You guys out in Burbank today?
I'm in Van Nuys, where we have our offices. So it's a beautiful, weird, shitty gray day.
I'm somewhat familiar with Van Nuys. I lived in Burbank for a bit, so I would drive past it here and there.
Burbank rules. Van Nuys is it's the porn capital of California, but besides that, there's not much going for it, except wonderful people and a beautiful community.
And that's all I ever hear about it, is that it's the porn capital. I think it was John Krasinski I heard tell a story about, as he had left filming The Office one day, how they were filming a porn outside.
He got his start in porno. No one knows that. He got discovered outside before he was doing a scene, and jumps into the major leagues with The Office.
Greg Daniels just recognized him and was like, we can't tell anybody, but this'll work.
Hang on, I'm sorry. Just a moment. I don't know what's going on.
So now you guys are getting ready to, you guys are currently in hiatus from Workaholics, but you guys are already starting on writing Season 5, is that right?
Yep, we just started last week, and we're just churning out some new crazy episodes. It's going pretty well. It's been fun.
Nice. How many people do you guys have on your riding team?
There's four of us, and then 1, 2, 3, 4. We got four right now, and then we got three more starting next week, I think.
That's awesome. So are you guys continually building the riding team then?
I wouldn't say building. We switch in and out. You know, we got some people who work and some people who have different styles that might not gel with the show so much. And then also we got people who leave for other opportunities or just weird schedules. So it's a revolving door of hilarity.
So now, as I was looking some info up, just kind of about your career, and I did not realize how much of your character on the show is kind of just an extended version of yourself. I had no idea that you actually were a swimmer.
Oh yeah, you can't make something like that up. Those are the days. Now it's fun to just since I had no shot at making the Olympics. Kind of fun to make an impact on the sport in a totally different way.
have you seen people that have started swimming just because they want to be more like Durs?
I doubt that happens, but I know that being an ex-swimmer, you don't really see your sport unless it's every 4 years at the Olympics. So to see a character on TV that talks about swimming in like a way that seems real and accurate, I know that people get a kick out of it, because I would have flipped out if I was growing up in high school and saw some show about a bunch of party animals and one of them was a swimmer.
And with people like Ryan Lochte and Michael Phelps, who we know have their party side, have any of them ever reached out to you, you know, with that swimming element to the show?
I met Lochte at some party. Connor Dwyer is an Olympian who enjoys watching the show. He's actually from the Chicago area. And Matt Grievers is another Olympian who I know watched the show. I got to actually go to the like swimming award called the Golden Goggles last year and meet a bunch of people. So it was kind of fun. It was the only way of getting in that dinner, that's for sure.
So now, as you guys start writing season 5, I mean, so many of the episodes are just so out there. What you know helps keep you guys generating new material to keep it continually fresh?
I mean, what's cool is that between seasons, we take like 6 months off. People go do other stuff, and you come back with stories or like experiences. Or you know, I know I just kind of like read a lot of stuff, and I'll be like, oh. I was reading about X, Y, and Z, and I think it'd be kind of funny if we flipped that on its head and made it the guys instead of, you know, Russians or whatever.
So now when you guys started, I had always found it interesting that you guys, you know, kind of started as a sketch group and then built everything up through YouTube. So what was the secret that you guys found to kind of being able to generate those hits to the videos?
Well, I wouldn't say we generated too many hits, but, you know, starting on the internet, like, it was a whole new game. Like, everything had to be short form because, you know, nobody wants to watch more than 2 minutes on a tiny stream, and you're competing with clips that are 10 seconds of somebody, like, falling off a fence and smashing their nuts. So, you kind of got to just do quick sketches, let people know you can, you know, tell a quick little story. Do different characters, and it was a good training ground to be like, okay, I know that this is my wheelhouse. I'm funniest when I do this. This didn't really work. And then we did a web series called The Dude's House that kind of set up who we were as like the threesomes, you know, Adam kind of being the rambunctious guy, me being the wet blanket, and then Blake kind of being the dreamer. And then we put it in an office, and now it's the show.
So, and I mean, it definitely, it makes it relatable with that element, too, of it being in the office. The way I actually first really discovered the show was one of my buddies that was working on Happy Endings over at Paramount a few years back.
Yeah.
With a show I was trying to shop around and work on. It was kind of a buddy comedy in a workplace. He immediately was like, well, have you watched Workaholics? And it was, I think, midway into the second season. And I hadn't checked it out yet. And he kept saying, you've got to watch this. You have to watch it. And I absolutely fell in love with it after that because I could relate to having those, you know, different odd characters throughout an office.
Right. I mean, and, like, Adam and I, we did telemarketing. I did telefundraising. But, like, you know, to meet some real characters who, for one reason or another, have just kind of been doing a job that's pretty easy, you know, if you want to just kind of chill for the rest of your life. It's definitely the job for you. And they have some cool stories to tell, and they definitely were unique individuals.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, I've had my share of having to work, you know, the telemarketing type job in the phone center, and it's by no means a joyous job at all. But I mean, the characters that you meet, you really can't write some of those people. They you have to actually see them to to believe that they exist.
Sweatpants were a big thing.
Yeah.
For older people.
So, I mean, as I've written stuff, I'll even pull stuff from people that I had talked to that would just blow my mind because you couldn't, it's like you couldn't imagine people could really be dumber than some of the calls that you would take, and then somebody would one-up that.
Yeah,
I'll never forget a lady I had call in and tell me that her TV was muddy. And it took about 15 minutes before we realized that her TV was actually on mute. And that, and she kept telling us it said her TV had muddy on the screen. And I was like, how have you made it that far in life and not known what mute is? It was definitely an interesting experience. So now I saw here too that you did Second City out in Los Angeles. I'm actually getting ready to hopefully this fall start into Groundlings. And I was looking at all the different opportunities with Second City and with UCB. And I mean, how do you feel Second City really impacted your career?
Second City was great. It's actually, I mean, how it impacted my career is that I met Adam, and we started writing together, and he had already known Blake and Kyle, so I kind of got brought into their crew, and that's how it changed everything. But besides that, it's pretty cool to kind of build your comedy chops and be part of a community where people are, you know, artists and interested in comedy and trying to do something, especially out in here, LA. And Jay Leggett was one of my teachers, and he was just an awesome dude who had done a lot of work in his life and really helped farm my path, you know, my sense ability, and helped me make it out here in LA, you know. It's a far trip from Chicago. I'm glad I came after because it worked out.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's worked out. I mean, you guys have, you know, really exploded into all sorts of other different elements, you know, with your careers. I mean, even just doing cameos. I know when I recently saw Neighbors, all of you guys were in there playing beer pong.
Yeah, that was fun.
So, and I mean, it's funny because those that follow the show, you know, it's the perfect element to just throw you guys in as a cameo.
Yeah, I wouldn't have told us exactly what it was. We were like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Now, as you guys are creating the episodes, you're in your writer's room, how much, you know, partying really goes on even then to help really bring the element of the show to life?
I've been known to open a couple Bud Light Limeritas to get the creative juices flowing.
I hear the Limeritas are the key to a lot of people. So I don't know if you've heard of the Geek Show podcast. It's a bigger podcast for all of the geek fans and the nerd fans out there. And one of their panelists, he cracked open a Limerita, starting their first show. They record three shows in a day and managed to pound three out in the first show. And the rest of the shows, he was just gone.
They get you going. They don't mess around.
So I'll have to start adding that element to all of my casting sessions and stuff.
Like,
see what I can get. So now, as you guys are even casting for the show, what is it that you guys were looking for, you know, to bring those characters that you saw in workplaces, that you saw just every day, to bring them to life, make your script really, really stand out?
Well, we knew Jillian before, and we knew she was talented and kind of wrote the part for her. And then Mary Beth came in and read for Alice, and I had actually seen her at Second City in Chicago before. And she just kind of brought it to life and gave it this sadness in a way that you're like, yeah, seems about right. She's miserable. She doesn't want to be here. She's not going to take shit. And then, you know, Montez, played by Eric Griffin, he came in and brought his own, like, flavor also. So, you know, it's like you write a character, you think you know what it is, and then you see an actor who has something already, like, innately, and then you go, oh, that's good enough and close enough to what my character is, but I also want to steal their like, essence and start writing towards that. And I feel like we've done that a decent job. I always laugh at what they do. So, it's great to have everyone on board.
Now, with you know, kind of writing to that element of the actor, when you guys are filming, is there a lot of improv that even is involved where all of you guys have a strong improv background? Or do you guys stick pretty much to the script?
No, we try and write a good script, and then, you know, we'll do that a couple times. And then once we know we've got that version, or if that version didn't feel good, we'll be able to like, we'll change it around, and we'll just kind of wing it. So it usually ends up being about a quarter or a third improvised.
So now, as far as writing goes, I mean, I see that, you know, you've been doing writing for quite a while. What was it that really got you into writing and really, you know, drove you down the path of doing TV and comedy writing?
Well, I remember seeing the movie Rushmore and kind of being like, whoa, this is definitely, like, authored. You know, you can hear, see, and, like, feel the tone so heavily that you're like, you can feel Wes Anderson and Owen Wilson in the movies, whereas something like About a Boy, it's a little less so. It's just kind of a movie you're watching, and you don't really feel the authorship as much, which is, you know, it's a plus and minus in both cases. But that kind of tipped me to like, oh, somebody's making these movies. Like, this is totally just some guy who's 28 or whatever, or he was 26 when he made Bottle Rocket, which I had seen already. And for whatever Rushmore, I was, you know, now I was 18 and kind of cluing in on stuff and decided, oh, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see what it'd be like to write a movie. And then I wrote a couple bad movies, went to college, wrote another one, and then moved to L.A. because I wanted to write movies, and then got a job at a production company and met the guy who created Bone, Hart Hansen, who was like, you know, TV is where writers have all the control. You know, they make the show. If you write a movie script, you give it away, you never see it again. On to the next one. They could make it bad, they could make it good, who knows? So I was like, oh, I'm going to get involved in TV. And then I just started speccing shows and writing my version of The Office or How I Met Your Mother the year it came out, Always Sunny. And in the meantime, I was doing Second City and shooting videos with the guys and never got staffed on anything, but we got our own show, so that worked out pretty good.
Yeah, and even writing those spec scripts, I mean, I hear a lot of different writers and actors that will, you know, write spec script after spec script, and yeah, I mean, some of them go places, but it's definitely great practice just to be able to understand that element of script writing. I know when I had first started in film school, one of our teachers immediately had told us, you know, you need to try to read at least 2 to 3 scripts of either a feature film or a TV show, you know, within a semester, so that you understand the way that breaks down. And I realized how terrible of a script writer I was after doing that for a semester.
Sure.
So, but
yeah,
I
watch a lot of TV.
Yeah. And I definitely know what you mean about getting there and making that first bad script or bad film. But one of the first credits I had on IMDb, I wish was never on there. I see it every time. I'm just like, why is that on there? It's one of the most embarrassing things I feel like I've ever made.
And, oh, good. You got the real, man. It's like when you run a 10K or something like that, and your results get posted online even though you were sick, or
yeah,
you go to the bathroom in the middle of a race, everybody knows you went slower than you did before or whatever.
Yeah, and that's... I at least like seeing it, and then seeing, you know, the way that a career progresses. It's like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, it could get here and then to the next step. So it's fun to look back on those crappy ones and realize, you know, that you had to start somewhere.
Yeah, and then you can even go back and mine them, make them better.
Yeah, and that's with this one. I think it's definitely a dead horse at this point. But there's, you know, definitely those that, Yeah, they can always spark a new idea or bring something else to life. So now one last question as we kind of wrap things up. I noticed that you guys got a chance to be in the first episode of Arrested Development as that came back. What was that like to, you know, be able to be on the set?
It was pretty freaking cool. I mean, as far as a short list of funniest comedies of all time, Arrested Development's surely on there, you know, with Cheers and Seinfeld. It's like, it's just one of those shows that changed the game. And when it went away, everybody was sad, and when it came back, everyone was excited, and we had had Mitch Hurwitz act on our show, and he was hysterical as Cool Eric, who was like a counselor at the office.
Yeah.
And he just called our manager and was like, hey, wrote a little part for you guys for the return of the rest of the development. We were, you know, bouncing off the walls, and our scene was with Jason Bateman, who I cannot be unfunny. He's just like, he's one of my favorite, like, even talk show hosts, just because he tells great stories and he's very casual and, like, he's naturally funny. You know, it just seems like a guy who it comes very easy to. And he was real fun to work with. It was cool.
So I can only imagine. I think my mind would explode if I ever got the chance to work with Jason Bateman. I mean, he's been one of my heroes for years. So.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. I mean, we were there for one day, and it was like, if you guys want to grab lunch on the way out, feel free, or we'll see you around. Like, we're going to grab lunch and hang out for a little bit. Saw Ron Howard, like, a few tables down. It was pretty fun.
So, yeah, that's got to be a trip, especially to work with people that, I mean, you've watched forever, to and then to sit down and have lunch with them. I don't know that I'd be able to have a conversation with them during lunch. I think I would just stare uncomfortably at them.
I know. Well, there's a weird thing I find myself trying to do where it's like, you know, you don't want to pretend like you're too cool or whatever, but there is that balance of being like, oh my God, hero, also regular person, you know?
Yeah.
Unless they're a total freak, then that doesn't work. But, you know, I would hate for someone to, if I have a successful career or whatever, to come up to me and think that I'm something other than I'm not, you know? I hope that doesn't sound too whatever, but like, you know, if I'm in a few more movies and there's some kid out there who's dumb enough to make me his favorite actor, I would hate for him to come up to me and be like, oh my God, I must bow down. I'd be like, nope, totally, I just paid a parking meter. I'm a normal dude, what's up? when you see, when you work with somebody like Jason Bateman, you can't, I don't know, there's a weird balance, or else he's just going to think you're insane.
Yeah. So now, as season five, as you guys, you know, are writing that and getting ready, do you guys start shooting in August?
Yes, something like that.
So what can everybody expect with this upcoming season?
What can we expect? Some more swimming. Swimming episodes. And then, what else? Maybe an office party at the house, where everyone finally gets to come over and hang with the dudes. I mean, we literally just started last week, so these episodes might not even make it.
I would like to see the whole office crew come over to your guys' house and just get stoned out of their mind or something. I think that would be pretty epic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time today, Anders. I know you guys are on a busy schedule with getting everything written, getting all the pre-production going here.
Pleasure.
Awesome. Well, good luck with this upcoming season. I look forward to seeing it and any other projects that you have coming up.
Thanks, man.
Not a problem. Thank you. You too. You have a good one.